this truth of a head. It gets beyond all the headlines you read. Don't need lip service with a wink and a nod. You need a man on a mission from God. Well, not to worry, here's Bob in your life.
Greetings to the brightest audience in the country. I am Bob Enyart, the pastor of Denver Bible Church. There is so much going on with our open letter project, but we're going to have to take a break to tell you about something huge for the body of Christ, not only in this country, but around the world. May 28th will be the grand opening of the Creation Museum that has been designed by Answers in Genesis, Ken Ham. And to see how things are going, we have a report on scene with Mark Siffer from WPOS Radio out of Toledo, Ohio. Mark, welcome back to Bob Enyart Live.
Bob, it's a blessing to be back with you.
Thank you. We had you on just weeks ago, but now you're at the Creation Museum, and I have heard it's extraordinary.
Yeah, as a charter member of the Creation Museum, those may not be familiar with what that concept is all about. But charter members are those who joined up at an early stage in the process of the construction and committed to financially and prayerfully help get this construction project off the ground, literally.
Right.
And as a lifetime charter member, well, they invited all the charter members in this week to get a preview of the museum before it opens. It's not 100% finished, but I'd say it's about 99%. They just got a few little things to tweak here and there.
All right.
And they're putting the finishing touches on it, kind of like a house or a church when it finally gets built.
Yeah.
And you see the final drywall being this and that and the painting and this sort of thing. But they're finishing it up, and it's virtually complete. And I must say, it is just buckets and buckets of blessings. As Ken Ham puts it, this is going to go down in history of Christendom as playing a big part in the new reformation of the church and the culture.
I think that is a great point. When our church, our little Denver Bible Church, our elder board, once a year we survey the health of the body of Christ in this country and just worldwide, and we see an area after area like morality, the body of Christ is crumbling, but the one bright spot is creation science, and Ken Ham and so many other creationist leaders are teaching people by the millions that we are not animals. We did not evolve from monkeys. In fact, the Bible says, and all the scientific evidence points to human beings being specially created.
That's right. And you know, Bob, one of the biggest stumbling blocks for people to believe the Bible is true is all the teaching of that Big Bang.
The Big Bang.
Yeah, well, today, sitting with me here is someone that your friends at Denver Bible Church are familiar with.
Yeah.
He spoke up there not too long ago, Dr. Jason Lyle.
Dr. Lyle, welcome to Bob Enyart Live.
Thank you for having me on. I appreciate it.
It's great to have you on. So, Jason, could you tell us, you're a scientist and astrophysicist, tell us about the museum from your perspective.
Well, I got to tell you about one of my favorite exhibits in the museum, and that is our planetarium. And you might have seen some old-style planetariums that had just sort of the ball in the middle with the pinpricks in it.
Yes,
to show you the stars.
Yeah, we love those, by the way.
Yeah, we actually have a state-of-the-art digital system, and so it's not like those old ones. We can actually do things that those old systems could never do. For example, we can leave the Earth and travel out into space virtually and through the rings of Saturn and out into the vast galaxies beyond. It's exciting. It's really amazing to see. And, of course, we present shows that show how the information in outer space confirms what we read in God's Word.
Oh, my. Jason, have you narrated or authored the text of some of those programs?
Yeah, in fact, I designed actually two planetarium programs so far, and every word in them is something that I've written after, you know, prayerful consideration and considering all the scientific evidence, and I even put together the visuals as well. Now, you won't hear my voice in the program. We did hire someone who's got a little better voice than I did. We hired a professional to actually read the narration because we want it to be top-notch.
Wow.
And we had someone specially compose the music for it as well. So you're going to see a brand-new show that's not aired anywhere else in the world, and it's going to be unique because it's going to show people information that they would not get at most secular museums.
And that is exciting because even with the secular Big Bang worldview, there are only so many planetarium shows, and you go and you think, well, I saw that one 2 years ago. But so not only is this brand new and fresh, state of the art, but it's coming from a biblical perspective, because we know that an explosion doesn't create the beauty, order, and design of the universe that God made for us.
Well, that's right. And we'll even show people that there are even age indicators in the universe that tell us that the universe is much younger than what my evolutionary colleagues would like them to believe.
Wow, age indicators. Now, that fascinates me. Do you think you could give us a little preview and give us an idea? What might there be in the universe or the galaxy or the solar system that might indicate it's not 15 billion years old?
Well, for example, we have comets in our own solar system, and these comets disintegrate as they get close to the sun. You see, comets have elliptical orbits. They go far away from the sun, and then they go close.
Mm-hmm.
And comets being made of ice, when they come close to the sun, that ice sort of vaporizes off the surface, and that's what actually forms the tail of a comet.
Yeah,
means that comets can't last billions of years. They would be totally disintegrated, but it's not a problem if they're a few thousand years old, as the Bible teaches.
In fact, there are secular scientists who, in fact, the whole field of astronomy admits that these comets do not survive for billions of years or millions of years. They would completely decay in an order of thousands or tens of thousands of years.
That's right. And my secular colleagues, you know, I find a lot of times when you present evidence like that to them, they'll come up with what we like to call a rescuing device. That is, they'll come up with some hypothesis that can explain away that evidence.
Right.
And in this case, they'll say, well, maybe there's a vast supply of comets out there called an Oort cloud, but you know, and it's conveniently beyond the range of our telescopes to see it, so we have no evidence for it. And that's
right.
What I like to point out is, well, that's just a rescuing device. In terms of the evidence makes sense in light of a straightforward reading of Scripture, and that's just one evidence. There are many others. For example, magnetic fields of the planets. Did you know those magnetic fields are decaying, just like the Earth's magnetic field? We can actually measure it decaying.
Mm-hmm.
That's what we'd expect. Magnetic fields are caused by electrical current, and as that current encounters resistance, the magnetic field drops. Well, it turns out you can't have a magnetic field that lasts many millions of years, let alone billions. And so the fact that the Earth still has a magnetic field, as well as some of the other planets in the solar system like Jupiter and Uranus and Neptune, have quite strong magnetic fields. It shouldn't be the case if they were billions of years old, but it's not a problem for a few thousand years.
And this is why we invited Dr. Jason Lyle, astrophysicist, to Denver Bible Church to teach us, so that we can be equipped to answer those who ask, and they say, well, isn't there evidence that? And we say, no. In fact, the truth is that science upholds God's word, because God is the author of the physical universe. Jason, regarding those comets, when the evolutionary scientists say they're formed out in the Oort cloud, far out in the outer reaches of the solar system, well, NASA recently just smashed a lead bullet into a comet and analyzed the debris, and they said it had minerals in it, like olivine, and minerals that even the evolutionary scientists would say would be from the inner solar system, not likely to be hanging around in the outer solar system.
That's right. It's one of many inconsistencies in the secular model. They did find evidence of heat, believe it or not, inside these comets, minerals that are normally formed on Earth under sort of warm circumstances.
Right.
And so that speaks of them being sort of close to the sun. It's not a problem if you believe that God created these objects, because he could have made their composition as he wished. But it's a huge problem if you believe these things formed naturally out in the vast reaches of space and have been thrown in from an Oort cloud.
Right. Okay, so that's the planetarium. Now, the whole museum itself, I've heard it's huge.
It's amazing. And you know what? The thing that's even more amazing, when you come in, you don't realize half of it's underground.
Oh.
It's even bigger once you get on the inside and you actually take down the walk through history and you go sort of into the lower sections of the museum. It is amazingly large.
60,000 square feet. And you guys, you did this right. You hired a designer who, we've been to Universal Studios out in California, and you know, that's state of the art, as slick as could be. You guys hired a designer who was an exhibit director for Universal Studios to lay out the museum.
That's right, Patrick Marsh, and he's been a tremendous blessing to us, and of course he's fully on board with us, and he understands the importance of biblical creation, and he's been responsible for the overall design of the museum. We have several other people who have designed specific exhibits. We have Mike Matthews, who has been in charge of much of the museum content. I've helped out with a lot of the video scripts to ensure their accuracy, to make sure that they are scientifically accurate when it comes to the physical sciences.
Hmm.
So everything you see at this museum will be just as accurate as we human beings can make it. Of course, we will ultimately stand on God's word, and we know God's going to be accurate because He designed the universe.
Right. Now, Dr. Jason Lyle, could you tell us your background? Where did you become an astronomer?
Well, I got a PhD in astrophysics from the University of Colorado in Boulder.
So right up the street from us.
That's right. So it's good to chat with you. I hope that the mountains are looking nice and beautiful and sunny today in Colorado.
They are beautiful. It's actually, it might rain today, which is unusual for us, but the global warming has us nice and cool here the last 6 weeks. We've been very cool. So thank you, Jason Lyle. I know you're headed into the planetarium.
Yeah, we're checking on some stuff today to make sure the equipment's up and running and working properly. No major glitches today. I'm praise the Lord for that. So.
That is super. Thank you,
Jason.
Thanks
for having me on.
May God bless you. You're welcome.
You too.
Now back to Mark Siffer with WPOS FM. That's 102.3 in the Toledo area in Ohio. Hey, Mark.
Yeah.
It's a sin to envy, I'm sure. I've read that in the Bible. So I wonder how... I envy you being there, but I don't think it's in a sinful way.
I think you seriously would like to be sitting where I'm sitting right now. I'm in the portico, as they call it. If you've ever seen a picture of the Creation Museum, it is, you've seen those giant pillars out front in like a big veranda porch-like area. Well, they realized that on one of their behind-the-scenes tours last year that they needed more room. And so they enclosed this veranda area, so the pillars are now all glassed in. It's like 30 feet of glass that goes all the way to the top, and this part inside now is a portico. It's a place where people can queue up and get tickets, get their information,
right?
And looking out across the lake at all the magnificent bridges and all of the canopies for the picnic areas, the marvelous landscaping out here.
Because when people come, they'll come as individuals or families and also as church groups.
Oh, exactly. Yeah, for example, WPOS had a, we decided to book a bus tour down here. We're going to come down June 15th, and we sold out three entire bus coaches, 56-seaters, in about 3 weeks.
Well, that's really exciting. We actually called a local coach service and... for Denver Bible Church in Bobignard Live to bring 56 people on a trip. Now, we're coming from Denver, so it's quite a bit further away, but it'll cost a few hundred dollars a person. And so we're trying to set the dates for early August, but Lord willing, we'll be there too.
Well, great. Yeah, because this place is just absolutely phenomenal. By August, the Chiasaur should be in full bloom.
Now, the Chiasaur, tell us about that.
That is something that I did not expect to see as I was walking around the nature trail out there. By the way, this sits on 49 acres of property, and there is over a mile of nature trail that just takes you through some breathtaking landscaping, and it's also educational as well. But they have, you've heard of the little chia pets that grow on your countertop. Well, they decided to take that same theme and make a T-Rex and put him out there.
Wow.
And there's also a Loch Ness Monster and a few herons and another smaller dinosaur. They're all this, like, chia material. They're all going to grow and be part of the landscape.
Wow, that's really fascinating. Now, if you go to Disney World, you see these animatronics, as Walt Disney called them. You know, people that move, and, of course, they have animals, too. Now, I've heard that Ken Ham has had the technicians design dinosaur animatronics.
Not just dinosaurs, and they are all over the place, by the way. You can't look in this place one area without seeing a dinosaur of some sort.
Yeah.
And there is a huge plesiosaur, right when you walk in the main lobby as you go into the museum area, who is, his neck is stretched out, and he kind of brings his head right over the people as he's chewing on some foliage and then brings back over.
Wow.
It's absolutely hilarious. And then the animatronics doesn't stop with the dinosaurs. There's people. There's actual characters. When you get to the Noah's Ark exhibit, you'll see Noah. He's standing here barking out orders now. You put this over here. You get this here. It's fascinating. Absolutely fascinating.
I'm glad Noah spoke English so we could understand what he's saying.
Oh, of course. Kind of just like he was from Brooklyn.
Mark, this is exciting because, you know, Christianity is a segment of the overall population, but then Christians who believe in the Bible literally from the first word of Genesis, as Jesus Christ himself did, he affirmed that Genesis is God's word and it's history, it's truth. Well,
that's right.
We're a smaller segment of the society, and so when we try to do things, we don't have funding from 100% of society. Like, let's say a secular movie gets major funding and airs in theaters across the country and the world, and Christian efforts are funded by a much smaller segment. And so it's rare to see a Christian effort that is top-notch, state-of-the-art, first-rate.
I'm glad you brought up the funding, Bob, because I was talking with Mark Loy earlier this morning about that very subject. And here's something fascinating to chew on. And the best way to compare it is to, like, anybody who's followed sports and knows about teams that need a new stadium. I'm sure they probably built one in Denver for the Broncos.
Oh, yeah. Well, the Broncos, we've got Invesco Field. Yeah.
Okay. So, like, say, a Coors Field probably costs in the neighborhood, I'm just going to guess, of around $150 million.
For the Rockies. Yeah, something like that.
Right.
That's a close enough neighborhood.
Yeah. So that's what a ballpark goes for. Some of them are like Comerica Park in Detroit, over $200 million. And they sit on roughly 10, 12 acres. Okay. This is 49 acres. And when you figure in the cost of the land, plus the entire building project,
right,
and they are open and running right now, the price tag, $27
million. $27
million. Right, and people come through here and they say, how could you have possibly built this for $27 million?
So that Ken Ham was a good steward of the money that God's people sent to build this Creation Museum.
Absolutely, and not only that, as he puts it, it's a collective effort. There was a lot of gifts in kind, a lot of labor in kind. As you look out the portico here and you look at all of these wonderful bridges and all these deck work that was done, people have come, master craftsmen have come in here and says, you know what, I'll build you a bridge. I'll put in your deck.
That's so exciting.
And over and over again, people put in thousands and thousands of hours of volunteer time to help bring this thing to pass. Mm-hmm. And so that's why when secular people walk through here and they say, you did this for how much?
Right.
You know, they go, wait a minute, it would cost 10 times that to build this.
Right.
No, it doesn't, not when God's people get together.
Wow, is that exciting, Mark?
It is. It's just absolutely fascinating. Because when you look at this and you think of, just think in the perspective of a ballpark, and then when you look at this place, you go, there's no way they did it for $27 million. It's impossible. Mm. But it's not impossible because God did it.
So you talked about being a charter member. What does that cost, and that makes you a lifetime member or what?
To be a lifetime, there's different levels of being a charter member.
Hmm.
To be a lifetime charter member, now the charter memberships are just about going extinct, okay?
Okay.
Here we go. 5-year family charter membership. This is before the museum opens, so don't miss your chance, as they say. They have a phone number here, if I can give that.
Sure thing.
It's 1-888-582-4253. That's 1-888-582-4253. And speak to one of their membership representatives. A 5-year family charter membership that's for the whole family for 5 years. It's only
$495.
$495. Or $995 a month for 5 years.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. A lifetime individual charter membership that's what I went for a couple years ago when they first broke ground. That's at the $1,000 level or $89 a month for 1 year.
All right.
And that was the commitment level that I made a couple years ago, and mm-hmm. I'm a lifetime member. As a lifetime member, you get 4 guest passes as well. So every time I come, I can bring 4 people because the whole thing is about outreach, Bob.
Wow.
About outreach.
Wow, is that cool.
Yeah.
So $1,000, you're a lifetime member?
Yeah, and it's a real bargain. There's all kinds of perks with that, too. You get a free shirt. You get a free subscription to the Answers magazine and all that stuff.
And my wife in January said, what do you want for your birthday? And I couldn't think of anything.
Oh.
I should have said a lifetime membership for the Creation Museum.
you missed that one. Well, it's not too late, I think. And I think if you call that number, that there might be just enough time this week to get them in there. Because I think once it opens, those charter memberships change.
All right, so that's 888-582-4253.
Uh-huh, that's correct.
Okay, so, Mark, how long have you been there at the museum?
I've been here since 7:30 this morning, and that would be a couple hours ahead of you. So
you're exhausted now. Have you? Would you say you've walked through the entire museum?
Yes, I have. Yeah, I just finished before Jason. Before I came on your program, I had just come out of the planetarium, that is just Jason Lyle did a fascinating job on that.
Wow!
You're laying back in a chair. Beyond 45 degrees. I mean, it's like in a full-blown recliner. And you're looking straight up into this 30-foot dome, and you literally feel like you're moving sometimes. They warn you before the thing starts.
Wow.
If you get disoriented, put your feet on the ground, close your eyes, and reopen them. Because sometimes you literally feel like you're floating through the universe.
Oh, my. Now, our children, I'm going to love this. Our children are going to go wild with it.
Oh, yeah, because especially when they take you out to Alpha Centauri and say, this is how far it is. Look at how that little speck out there. That's our sun.
That's our sun.
And then they zoom.
And Alpha Centauri is the closest star our solar system.
Oh, I know. This whole presentation that they're showing right now puts all that into perspective in such a way that it just is mind-boggling.
Oh, wow. This is exciting. And so then you go from Alpha Centauri out to the next few stars. You're in the Milky Way galaxy, and you see how enormous and the power of God to make the Milky Way galaxy.
And that all of it is perfectly balanced and exactly the way it should be. And there's no random chance. There's no accident here.
Right. And so if you go to a planetarium at a godless museum like in Denver, Denver Museum of Nature and Science, whatever it is, they will show you how huge the universe is, and it will all be just a fluke. It's all an accident.
Yeah.
It's a freak thing. It just happened.
Yeah.
It wasn't designed. There's no thought to it. It's just poof,
there.
It's there.
Yeah.
Which is inane.
It is totally inane. The one thing about this museum, too, is as detailed as they are, as we just heard from Jason, the PhD-level scientific presentations, which for all of us science buffs, we just love it and eat all this stuff up. But what I was just totally blown away with today, Bob, was I was seriously trying to look at this from the casual observer side. I was trying to put on my almost secular glasses, if you will, what does the average Joe lunchbox who doesn't even read a Bible think when he comes in here? I was trying to imagine what their mind would be going through.
Right.
And I'll tell you, there's one thing that this museum does. Everywhere you go, the gospel is presented in one way or another.
Wow.
And as you go through this presentation, you find that that's what it's all about. It's about the gospel of Jesus Christ.
Amen. He created this universe.
That's right.
And he made us. He designed our DNA.
That's right.
It's just so awesome. And every time I've thought about the Creation Museum, I've only thought about Christians going through it and learning about science, which is great. A lot of churches don't teach much about science. So I thought, that's great. Kids will learn about science and the Bible. And I thought about the secular media and how they'll hate the museum.
They'll be here next week.
They'll be here next week. But yeah. I never thought about the unbeliever, someone who has not made a commitment to Christ, and their friends are saying, hey, we're going to a museum. You want to come along? And the guy says, sure, I like museums.
Come on along, yeah.
And his life may change for eternity future by visiting this museum.
I'll tell you what, even if a scoffer comes through here, he'll never be the same in one way or another.
It will affect him.
The seeds are everywhere, and he's going to get a mouthful.
He's going to see the other side because, you know, liberals pride themselves on being open-minded, but you're not open-minded on an issue if you've only learned one side of it. And when I debate liberals, even if they're professors or teachers or whoever, professionals, on evolution, they're evolutionists, I'm a creationist, there's a fundamental difference between us. And that is, they don't know the creationist argument. They have no idea. They're not open-minded enough to ever have looked at it. Whereas I have spent how many hundreds of hours, 1,000 hours studying the evolutionary worldview. And so I've looked at both sides of the argument, and they've only looked at one side. So when an unbeliever comes to the Creation Museum, he could either put blinders on and put his head in a sack, or he's going to see the other side of the argument.
That's right, Bob. And another part of it also that's really fascinating is when you put on your believer's hat and you go through here as a believer, this museum is going to challenge the average pew sitter, okay? And what I mean by that is maybe you already believe in 6 days. Maybe you already know that you're saved and going to heaven and everything's just wonderful, you think, in your life. But when you come through this museum, one thing is going to hit you. You are going to be challenged about the Great Commission, the Great Commandment, that we are to go and tell.
Wow.
This is the gospel is a very, very precious gift, and it cost the Lamb of God his life.
Mm.
And when he rose from the dead, he commanded us to go and tell that glorious truth that the sin has been paid for by his blood. Now go tell it.
By his blood for all those who will humble themselves and trust in him to forgive them of their sins.
That's
if we
right.
believe that Christ has been raised from the dead, we will be saved.
That's right.
Mark, my audience knows why I enjoy you so much and why we get together sometimes on your show, sometimes on my show. And it's such a blessing that you're there. I can't be there, but I'm thrilled that you're there to tell us about it. So we're about out of time.
Okay.
But, hey, if we end up chartering this bus and going,
okay.
then we'll let you know, okay?
Yeah, maybe I'll meet you here.
Oh, that would be great. That would be a highlight.
Yeah.
All right, Mark.
Our motorcycle group's planning on taking a ride down here.
All right, that sounds super. May God bless you.
God bless you, Bob. Thanks a lot.
That was Mark Siffer with WPOS Radio in Toledo, Ohio. That's an FM station, 102.3. And earlier, Jason Lyle, astrophysicist, staff scientist with Answers in Genesis. And boy, am I excited about this Creation Museum. I hope you are too. You could check it out on the web. There's a lot on the web at Answers in Genesis. You could just go to creationmuseum.org. That'll get you there. But Answers in Genesis, also their website. And if you're interested, let us know. Now, it's going to cost a few $100 a person or so. We'll be gone for, what, 3-4 days? But we will have a good time, guaranteed. Fellowship on the bus, on the way there, on the way back. It'll be a blessing. We'll let you know more about our open letter to Dr. James Dobson tomorrow. We have received approval to run it in a major local newspaper. That has come through. So we'll give you more tomorrow from Maranatha Christian Center. What a great school.